I refuse to say that in October when they're selling Christmas trees in Walmart. Oh my gosh, I walked into Walmart like in October and I saw all the Christmas trees. I was like, no, blasphemy. You know, I just want to, oh my gosh, it's way too early. Like, it's like they did Christmas trees and like Halloween stuff, like together. There's something wrong with that, right? So I was thinking about Christmas time, and I was thinking about how we celebrate Christmas in our country. And there is something about the Christmas season that we decorated our house this past week, right? And put up the tree, put lights outside, and just did it up. We even put those sticky things on the wall, like, you know, when it's, you know, how many, you know what I'm talking about, little sticky things on your walls. We even did that this year. We kind of went all out this year. That was all out for us, so I don't know what all out for you looks like. I don't know if, like, you have to, like, have another generator at your house for all the lights that you put up. But, and like music and soundtrack, and we don't do quite that. I don't know if that's you. But we think about what we do for Christmas to make that year, make this time of year just special, right? Because all of us, like, we want to have that Pinterest Christmas, you know? That Christmas that you see in magazines. Like, when you think about, like, shopping in the stores, when you think about going to the mall and shopping, like, this is the thing that you have, you know, husband and wife, nice, beautiful, isn't that sweet? And then, like, notice that the guy's wrapping, they're already wrapped, you know, they're already ready to go under the tree. It's like the beautiful, and they're happy, they're smiling, and they're just like probably, they're just like in love. They love Christmas and the blurry Christmas tree in the front. And you just go, that's what I want for Christmas. That's what I want. But your Christmas more looks like this next picture. And you fight the crowds, right? This is more reality, isn't that right? Like your crowds are like, and people are like yelling at their kids, right? Like, shut up, it's Christmas, you know, like. You don't get anything. You know, I'll spoil you all year long except for the month of December, right? It's and the parking lots are all jammed and people yelling and people stealing your parking space. And it's just not that Pinterest Christmas, you know? And maybe, like, you talk about you want to decorate your tree and, like, in your mind you envision, like, oh, look at that family. They're all so happy, and their walls even red, like Christmas, and their Christmas decorations are beautiful. Like, Linda came over and decorated their house, and it's just beautiful, and they're happy, and no, you put the ornament on the tree first. No, you do it first. No, you put this one on the tree, and then that may have been what it looked like, but then after you put up your tree, you have animals in your house, and then it turned into this with your cat hanging on the tree, and it's like, oh my gosh, you wake up and your tree is laying in the floor. Like, we had some members of our church, their tree has just been falling all week, and it's not really what you thought it would be. And then your meals with your friends and your family, you go, this is what it's supposed to look like. Happiness, and look, and the cute girl sitting with her, ready to, you know, with their knife, not doing anything terrible with their knife, and just, it's all beautiful. And they're all so happy and smiling, and they're all wearing red and blue. It's beautiful, right? But this is more like some of our Christmas dinner fiasco. Yeah, and then you end up going and having Chinese for Christmas. And, So whatever your Christmas may look like, whatever you want your Christmas, like, we want our Christmases to be special, right? We want Christmas to have that flair, and you're going to leave that up for a while. Okay. We want our Christmas to be fabulous. Like, right? You want them to be amazing. You want to have those moments that you can capture in your mind, and you want it so we have such anticipation about what we want Christmas to be like, and we end up just, I feel like I'm yelling at my kids more now than any other time of the year, right? You feel like am I spending too much? Like our budgets, like, are totally gone, like, anymore. Like, you start off really good. You, at the Pinterest, right? You start off and go, okay, honey, this is how much we're going to spend for Christmas. No more. No more. We give our kids plenty. Plenty. You know, some people only give, they do the three kings thing, and they only give their kids three presents. That's a great idea. If three gifts were good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for them, right? So I'm going to give them gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? That's it. That's what you're getting. Deal with it. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for you, right? And so the parking and the online, are they going to deliver, and the waiting for your package from Amazon to get there, and also find out that your package that you thought was available is now unavailable, and it won't be available for weeks, right? Right? And so, yeah, you'll get it January 3rd. Thank you so much, Amazon. We appreciate you and all that you do for our lives. And basically what we need, it's so stressful that, like, in January, we should be able to just take all of January off because of the stresses of Christmas. Just take a whole month vacation, right? Christmas and the expectation. Everybody's like, now you're all dreaming. Ah, it's January off. That's great. So the expectation of Christmas can be exhausting. Isn't that true? The expectation. Don't you feel, like, even after I said all that, you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm like all tense inside. Like, even just saying it, I feel like, you know, you want to go take a nap or something. I need a break from all this Christmas stuff, right? I just wanted to put out a couple of things to help us during this Christmas season. First of all, Can we just stop with all the craziness? Stop trying to make Christmas perfect, right? Just live your life during this Christmas season. Enjoy the moments. Enjoy the time with, don't expect, throw those, you know, there's times where you expect things, right? Amen? There's times where I'm expecting this promise from God. I'm expecting, but there are other things you need to lower that expectation of that beautiful Pinterest, you know, Martha Stewart Christmas, you know, magazine cover Christmas. Amen? And say, this is my life, right? And all of its craziness, my tree's fallen down three times this week. You know, I burnt the whatever you were cooking you know, like when you do your Christmas cookies for our concert and you burn them and just bring them anyway. You know, this is real life church. Amen. Merry Christmas. Krusty, yeah, we're the perfect place for your imperfect cookies. So stop trying to make your Pinterest Christmas and let's just enjoy the season. And in order to stop and enjoy the season, we need to remember and remind ourselves what this whole thing is really about. Right? It's corny, right? It's one of those things we hear all this. We have a thing in our lobby, and it says, "Remember the reason for the season," right? Isn't that clever and corny and all that good stuff, right? But we do. It's the truth of the idea. Let's not forget why we celebrate. And I know. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Probably not. I get it, right? He's probably not the day. And I know we derived Christmas from, like, the sun god. I understand that, right? But I don't know. Like a whole bunch of bar songs, we took bar songs and made them Christian songs back in the revival days. Amen? I don't mind taking a bunch of old pagan stuff and slapping a Jesus on it and stealing it back. Amen? And taking it right out from under him. And I know, just don't worship the sun god. How about that? On Christmas, don't worship the sun god. Can we just basic? Okay, are we just good? Are we good? So, but the truth is, this is what we do, right? This is what our culture has made up. Unless, I don't know about you, but I kind of love this time of year. I do kind of love this time of year. I love everything about it. I like watching the movie Elf. I like watching the movie. I like watching It's a Wonderful Life. I like watching all the movies. I'll probably watch Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, maybe by myself, but I'll probably watch it. But I love everything about it. But if I'm not careful, but what my practice is this, is I make myself remember what the reason I celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Christmas because it's the time that Jesus was born. I celebrate Christmas because of this, right? I celebrate because of this right here. Because 2,000 or so years ago, for God so loved the world that this happened, that Jesus came. And whether it was in the spring, whether it was in the dead of winter, whether it was in the fall, I don't know. But I know he came. And I'm going to pick out a year this year and celebrate him. And so when I see all the lights, when I see all the stuff, and when I see all the things that are going on, there are moments where I look and I remember and I see a manger. There's moments when I look and I see something that reminds me of this. And I stop and I remember. I remember. So during this series, we're going to be, and actually, I'm going to take this moment, on the tables, I want y'all to do this for me. I want you to pass out some of these little, we are so good here. Look at that. We have your very own ornament that you, as we go through this series, that you can, we have them in, I don't even know what the kind of wood is. I forgot the kind of wood it is. Maple and walnut, right? So if you like the darker wood or the lighter wood, we have it for you. So you can put your own little thing. You can put it up wherever you want. You put it up on your tree. You can take a couple of them and give them to friends. And, you know, I don't want to see this in a white elephant gift exchange. Unless you're serious. Because I ended up with I was at a party last night. I ended up with a dazzling looking poodle pendant. It was amazing. And I gave up a cookie tin for that thing. Couldn't believe it. So actually, I didn't give it up. Somebody took it from me. I know. Don't you hate that? So this is a symbol. So this is kind of the thing this year, right? Is to remember Christmas, right? Remember what this thing is all about. That, listen, at the end of the day, this little manger scene changed everything. That moment in history changed everything. Everything. At the age of 29, a man named William Chatterton Dix was struck with a near fatal illness and consequently suffered several months confined to his bed. During this time, he became severely depressed. Yet, it was from this period of time that many hymns were written. During this time, he penned this famous question. If you could put it up. What child is this? What child is this? It's a great question for us today. What child is this? The manger. What child is this? Who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping. Whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch their keeping. What child is this? And on that bed of affliction and on that moment of depression, he had the emphatic response, which was, this is Christ the King. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. This is Christ the King. It's not just a song, right? It wasn't a song for him. It was a way for him to get out of his depression, which he eventually did. So let's delve into the question of what child is this, and take some weeks discovering Christmas over the next few weeks. We're going to be talking about it. Our scripture that we're going to use for this is Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. It says this. It's a prophetic word thousands of years before the birth of Jesus. It says, For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So in these next few weeks, these next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the Wonderful Counselor. We're going to be talking about the Mighty God. We're going to be talking about how Jesus is Jesus being the form of these things, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So this morning, I want to take a little bit of time and talk about Jesus, the Wonderful Counselor. And man, it's an appropriate topic for our culture and the people today. This seems like there's so many people searching for so many different answers. And all across life, so many people are confused, discouraged, frustrated, fearful, hopeless, angry, depressed, and anxious. Never before have there been so many people claiming, right, to have all the answers. And you hear so many voices like, come listen to me, come follow me, watch this TED Talk, right? Listen to this and listen to the way I do it and I think and I, and this is what I have found and I have done this and I have my research and I, and all these people with all the answers, right? And still we have depression as never before. We have suicide rates among teens like never before. So many dozens of different religions and secular philosophies, self-help books. When you go to the bookstores and you look at all the books, and majority of them are self-help books. People, we know we have issues because those are answering problems to the people that we have that are in our culture today. Remember. It's supply and demand, right? If there's a demand, there's a supply. So what is the demand? Help. 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 Help me deal. Help me have a better marriage. Help me with my kids. Help me with my weight. Help me with my this. Help me with my that. Help me figure out my finances. Help me do this. Help, help. That's the cry of our culture is help me. But we have something in this manger that cuts through all the clamor. Something that takes us back to the source of true wisdom. And that's the Word of God. In that phrase, Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is our Wonderful Counselor. Now, when you look at that word, when you start looking at the word Wonderful Counselor, we think that word wonderful, right? Counselor, and you put those kind of together, it's like, wow, Jesus is really good at giving advice. That's what you think. Like, Jesus is like really good at, like, you know, you got like an issue. Like, what, Jesus, what do you say about this? Like, he is like your counselor. Like, you picture, like, it's almost like in our mindset when you talk about Wonderful Counselor, it's like you're laying on that couch, right? The real cushy couch with the little waterfall music in the background, and you're laying there, and Jesus is going, tell me about your parents, right? And you're saying, well, I was born, and Jesus is, and you have that picture. Really, that's not the really accurate thing. It's not that Jesus is a wonderful counselor. I mean, he's really, really smart. He's like, you know, really brilliant at his deduction of solving your problems, right? Wonderful Counselor is really, that word wonderful, there's so much more and wonderful than just really, really good, right? Like if you're an Alabama fan this morning, that victory yesterday was wonderful, right? And if you're not, there is a big oh me this morning because that was awful. That was just awful. There's no other way. It was awful. yesterday. It wasn't just, that's not the definition of wonderful, right? Wonderful is not just really, really good. Wonderful in this biblical sense from the original means really miraculous or miracle is the word wonderful. Or incomprehensible is a better even word than really good, right? Jesus is not really just really good at giving advice. It's miraculous. It transcends human understanding. Like Jesus' wisdom transcends our own understanding, right? It means that it really means he understands things beyond our ability of our finite mind to comprehend, right? Like, so basically this, like God sees your life individually. And it's not like he just has a bunch of good ideas, right? God is the wonderful counselor because, I'll pick on my daughter, like he sees her end from the beginning, right? Like he sees her life and says, for you specifically, here are the things that I need from you to do. I want you to do. He's the wonderful counselor. The wonderful counselor to help Rachel, my daughter, get to where God has for her individually. Which goes even against somebody just saying, well, I'll use these principles and it'll be all good. No, God is the wonderful counselor that has ability to go into your personal life and help you navigate and get to where God has purposed and planned you to be. He is the wonderful, miraculous, incomprehensible counselor for you. He knows you. Not even the hair of your head is unknown to him, right? He knows you. Someone who always knows exactly what to do for you specifically. He's the personal God. This is our Jesus. This is our wonderful counselor that the Bible talks about. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He has the ability to lead us in our own personal lives because of his miraculous, transcending human understanding knowledge of you. It's good news this morning. Listen to what Jesus said about himself. Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus, that just sounds like a counselor, does it not? It just sounds like someone who's ready to help you individually in your own personal life, right? He wants to set you free in your life, in your issues, in your stuff, right? He wants that oppression that comes on you. He wants to be able to open your eyes that you can see the recovery of sight to the blind, right? Freedom from whatever addiction, whatever personal habit that just pulls on you and you have no control over. Jesus is the wonderful counselor to help you get out of that situation that you find yourself in. Because he is the wonderful, because it's for you specifically. It transcends your mind. It transcends your understanding. It transcends when you start praying about your own marriage and your own relationship with your kids. It's not just a self-help book. It's not just principles. God says, okay, for you, David, this is what you need to treat your wife, right? To love her as I love the church. And David, this is how it's going to look like in your personal life, right? Because that love is, you know, it doesn't matter what she does, right? I just love. You just pour love and love. Well, that transcends your thinking, right? How is it that I'm a giver and God gives back to me? Right? How is it that I cannot outgive God? How is it that the more I give myself away to God, the more he pours his life into me? It doesn't make sense to my mind. That's why you see selfishness rampant in our culture, because we don't understand the concept of God. The wonderful counselor says, that's not how you do life. This is how you do life. And I know it doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't seem like that's the way things should be, but it transcends your natural thinking. He said, if you just give your life away, I will pour life into you. That's Jesus, the wonderful counselor. And Jesus lived it out in his life. And he taught it out in his life. Look at the people that he dealt with. Look at the person of Zacchaeus. He meets Zacchaeus on the road, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, right? And a wee little man was... I identify with Zacchaeus. I understand. I would have had to climb that sycamore tree for the Lord I wanted to see. Right? I would have had to do, like, I understand, like, so Zacchaeus hated in the community. Understand, hated in the community. Can you see all the people? Like, all of a sudden, Zacchaeus is in a tree. Like, what the heck is Zacchaeus doing up in that stupid tree? What a jerk. And like, some of the people, you know some of the people have been this because they're nice and religious, right? They would look at me and go, I can't wait for Jesus to see Zacchaeus. I'm glad that it was probably God that Zacchaeus climbed that tree so Jesus could look at him and rebuke him. Right? That's what we would have said. Like, oh, there he goes. Yes, yes, here he comes. Jesus, like, oh, he's taking him to his, I wanted to go to Jesus' house. I wanted Jesus to come to my house. How did Zacchaeus get Jesus to come to his house? Probably to rebuke him. Probably, yeah, I can't wait. Jesus is going to get him. Right? But Zacchaeus just wanted to see Jesus. And something happened in Zacchaeus' house that's not recorded, probably on purpose, because that's between Jesus and Zacchaeus, just like it's between you and God. That was between Zacchaeus and Jesus. But all we know is that Zacchaeus came out of that wonderful counselor, a changed, different person. Gave away twice what he stole, right? Right? What about the woman at the well? She wasn't quite the religious type. She was rather sketchy, as we say, kind of woman. But here she is, walks up to Jesus, and here's Jesus alone with this questionable woman. And he totally reads her mail. And he affects her life in that moment, so much so that she has to go back and tell everybody in the village. Affects her. The woman is caught in the very act of adultery, right? Jesus, the woman comes and, well, they throw the woman down. And the thing that Jesus saw was the woman, right? And he looks at her. And he basically says, kind of tells the other guys off. They all go running away. We know, like, most of us know the story. But then he looks at her and says, hey, look, where's your accusers? Offers her forgiveness, offers her love. Boy, that's different than that culture would have dictated, right? That's different than what, but Jesus knew her and dealt with her. Mm-hmm. Who knows what Jesus knew about her and what she'd been through and her story. And he offers her forgiveness before she even asked for it. You want judgment, that mindset changes, that transcends the way we think about stuff. Like, we want judgment, like in some of these issues. We want God just you know, condemn them. And Jesus transcends that mindset and offers love, forgiveness. A hand to get up. A hand to change. See, Jesus, when Jesus was born, it started the process of breaking all of that misconception, that misunderstood idea that we can now love other people. And freely, like God loved us, we can freely love other people. Because Jesus is the wonderful counselor. That baby that was born was about to change everything. Because, see, he was going to give his own life so that we could have not just forgiveness, but have that very sin nature pulled out of us. Jesus is the wonderful counselor. Don't you wish you had Jesus with you all the time, you know? I would sit in that chair, actually. And I would say, Jesus, you tell me about my parents. Amen? Jesus, you tell me about my coworkers. Right? Jesus today is your counselor this morning. Jesus is your personal counselor. Wonderful, incomprehensible, more than just principles. He counsels you. They said like this, it's good that I go away, Jesus said. Because the work that I've done, the things that you've seen me do, it's going to continue. All this stuff is going to continue through the power of my Spirit. So now we have the Holy Spirit, who is known as the what? Counselor. The nature of Jesus is now the counselor by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, it's the, you know, how do we receive that, right? We receive that by two ways today. We receive it by the Word of God. We receive it by reading the Word of God and understanding and putting in practice the Word of God. Which the Word of God obviously transcends most natural thinking. And also by the Spirit of God on the inside of us. That God knows us. And He's so much so that when we receive Jesus, we have the Spirit of God inside of us. Who speaks to us. And those truths that Jesus taught, right, are now being taught to us by the Spirit of God on the inside, that we would now know Him. Because now the Spirit of God is doing exactly what Jesus did on the earth in us. This baby became the very wisdom of God in the flesh. The very wisdom of God in the flesh. I'm going to ask my worship team to come back up. Let's all stand together. So when you put this on your tree, or wherever you decide to put it, that you can see it, one of the things I want you to see in this is the Isaiah scripture right on top, right? Because what I want you to see is, because of this birth, I have a wonderful counselor. That cares about me, that's for me, not against me. And some of us, maybe Christmas, like Tadala alluded to earlier, let me just say something about this. Some of you, Christmas is not so merry. Because of maybe some things that the Christmas that you had when you were a kid wasn't so merry, right? It brings back some terrible memories. This is the truth of some of our lives. That this is, some of you, this is the first year without that loved one that passed away this year, and you're wrestling with that loss. And we get it. So sometimes it's not as great as the Pinterest Christmas that we want it to be. But our, pun intended, our saving grace to that is this little baby. This little baby that was born, yes, for the world, but for you. This little baby that was born so that His wisdom and His counsel can transcend your own mind. This little baby. So when you see this, it should remind you, Jesus, my wonderful counselor. Some of you go through difficult times this Christmas. Jesus is your wonderful counselor this week, this Christmas. Some of you get caught up in all the stress and the worry and all the stuff that just didn't turn out. I thought that was going to be more magical than it really was. Jesus is your wonderful counselor this morning. Receive Him this morning as your wonderful counselor. Let's pray. God, we look to You this morning. And God, would You help us to see Christmas differently, maybe this year. And God, I even I know I'm a pastor and all, but God, I even pray that even some of our expectations of even some spiritual things, God, you would even talk us through those things. God, would you just help us live our lives during this Christmas? God, would you just help us to, would you walk with us, God, during this Christmas? God, would you guard our hearts this Christmas? God, would you speak to us? Give us encouragement when we feel alone. God, give us wisdom when we're dealing with other people. Whether that's people that we're shopping with or people in our very own family. God, would you give us your wonderful counsel? And God, we thank you for that. We thank you that you love us enough to do that. We look to you, Jesus. And as Jesus, as corny as it is, you are the reason for this season. And Jesus, we celebrate and we thank you for coming. And we remember this Christmas. And God, would you just remind us, would you put like that manger exactly where we needed to see it? Would you put that star and remind us about the star that shone that night? Would you do little things this Christmas to help us to remember? Because God, you know us. God, we're forgetful. God, would you do things for us? And we'll be careful to acknowledge them and stop and think and acknowledge you this Christmas. God, we thank you. Maybe you're in this place and you say, man, I'm so far away from God. This is a great time of year for you to come back and say, man, I may be religious in my thinking, but I really just need to come back to God this Christmas. Man, you can do that this morning just by just a simple prayer in your own heart. You don't have to come down. You don't have to even raise your hand. Just you and God. Just say, God, I need you. And I thank you for Jesus, for ransoming my life from sin. And God, I receive you this morning in a fresh way and in a new way. God, we honor you in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said amen? Amen. Well, here we go. The first week of our series. And do go and grab one of these on your way out if you didn't grab one. Also grab an invite card as you go out. Man, if this is your first time here, thank you so much for coming to Hope Church. We so enjoyed having you, and I'll actually be out there in just a minute to go greet you. The worship team is going to do a worship song if y'all want to stay and do that. If you do need to leave, we ask that you leave and let this be a place of prayer if people want to pray. So God bless you guys. Merry Christmas, and we will see you guys. Ladies, they'll see you next Saturday for the women's at 6 p.m. God bless you guys.